This is the SML Podcast.
I'm a sneaky son of a bitch.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes. Not all the time. Done. Just sometimes. Ha! What's up, everybody? I'm Chris.
I thought you were still eating your fries.
I do it in between. I'm a multitasker. What's up, everybody? I'm Chris.
So we're doing this?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you ready on your end?
Yeah, I think so. Am I supposed to chime in with what's up, everybody? I'm Adam after he's done?
Or nah, we'll introduce you.
All right. I just like making Joe uncomfortable.
What's up, everybody? I'm Joe.
I'm Chris. And
this is oh my God. This is episode 51 of our shitty little SML podcast.
51.
51.
One away from the year.
That's yes. It's exciting.
I'm excited. But I'm excited for these fries, too.
Well, before we talk about your fries on the show, we have a special guest with us this week since Tim isn't here.
Again.
He's probably like blown some dudes in an alley so he could afford packs.
That's what I should be doing, actually.
You should.
Fuck.
But anyway, we have a real guest. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself to our listener?
Hello, I am Guest. hi, Adam Rippon, creative director from Muteki, creator of Dragon Fantasies Book 1 and 2 for many, many platforms. Wherever great video games are sold.
And wherever bad digitally. Video games are sold as well.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, probably. Yes, that would be lovely. yes.
Then again, you know, yesterday with the PS2 Classic, Bass Challenge. Oh, my God.
If you don't consider that a classic, you know.
You have some tough competition in the PlayStation marketplace. Now that the Bass Challenge PS2 Classic has hit.
Yeah, well, we've decided to just give up on making video games because obviously with Bass Challenge 2 having come out again, it's going to be at least 5 years until any other video game sells because everybody's going to be busy buying and playing Bass Challenge.
I know I will be.
Yeah.
I have a pitch for you. Dragon Fantasy Bass Challenge.
Ooh. I did want to do a
Bass Fantasy.
I did want to do a fishing minigame in book 2, but I didn't get around to it. There's a lot of things I didn't have time to do. But
book 3.
Same for book 3, I guess.
Yep. Just get rid of the dragons altogether and change it all to fish.
Yes.
Oh, there are no dragons.
Spoiler alert.
It's just called Dragon Fantasy because there aren't any.
They fantasize about dragons. They're not real.
Yep, the hero killed all of the dragons when he was 16, so there aren't any dragons. We start to hint at dragons showing up again at the end of book 2, but so far.
So like
no
Game
dragons.
Of Thrones.
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones where they talk about dragons for 9 seasons.
Yeah.
14 books.
George R. R. Martin ripping off all the stuff I wrote when I was 14.
That son of a bitch.
That bastard.
Wisteria, then he goes and calls it Westeros.
Man.
Yep. And he just throws in a bunch of dicks everywhere.
Yeah.
We just must have all the same ideas. Even the character Ramona was originally named Arya. Yeah, and I was just like, oh, fuck.
So you cut out there. I didn't hear.
All I heard was, ah. Yeah.
the character Ramona was originally, ah. That's what we heard.
Ramona was originally named Arya, like the character from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And I had to change the name because I didn't want to.
Because Game of Thrones, you know.
Because Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Martin.
I think that's a thing.
You got throned.
Yep, I got throned. So
tell us a bit about Dragon Fantasy. What platforms is it available on? What made you create it? Just tell us about you. We care, man.
Well,
just
Dragon Fan. Aw, you care? That's sweet. So when I was a kid, I started designing RPGs. You know, I'd played all the ones on Masuda Super Nintendo. I'd worked on fan translations of Final Fantasy 2, 3, and 5.
Nice. What groups did you work with?
What's that?
What translation groups did you work with?
RPGE and DJAP and Demiforce.
Oh, I wrote shit. Tools.
I wrote tools that they used. And, you know, I think at least a few, at least one or two of those games used entirely my tools, but I don't remember all the details. I stopped working on Final Fantasy V about a third of the way into the game, if I recall correctly. And then I was just sort of loosely associated with everybody in the scene at the time. But anyway, I got like, you know, there were only so many RPGs to play and translate. And I was obsessed. So I started working on my own. Brian Soller, who, you know, is now my business partner in Mutaki, we started making an RPG that we called Talisman, and it was a big, big honking monster, like 8 playable characters. You selected 4 and it would change the story based on which 4 you picked. And
there nice. Was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's some Seiken Densetsu 3 shit going on.
Yes, exactly. That was also something I just beta tested that translation. But
I just want to thank you for whatever work you put into that, because that game is amazing, and Square could eat a dick for not bringing it here.
Oh, I know. And they still haven't. It drives me crazy. Like, all they got to do is just do it. But I mean, I know it's a lot of work, but still, it's a classic, and it should be something that everybody can play. I think all I did was beta test that. But anyway, so we started building this big game that was basically like the best of every RPG that we could put together. But it turned out we didn't know how to program. We sucked at it. We were terrible. You know, no classes, no books. I lived in Montana where there are no computers.
Do they even have electricity there?
We had just gotten electricity, we were waiting for running water. So, yeah, you know, I did that. And, of course, we did not get very far. You know, Brian and I ended up trying to do that 13 different times over the years. And we got better at it each time. We did it on different platforms, you know, DOS, Windows, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, GameCube even.
Did you bust out the RPG Maker on PlayStation 1?
I have never used RPG Maker, and I have no idea how it works.
Wow.
But I know that every single article about Dragon Fantasy ever has said something about RPG Maker in the comments, and I just want to kill him. yes. So anyway... I did a demo with Brian of the game in like 2000, and ended up getting us jobs in the industry.
Nice.
And so for the next, like, you know, 10 years or so, we kept pretty busy doing industry type stuff, you know, like making movie games. My first game was Little Nicky for Game Boy Color, based on the Adam Sandler movie.
I love that fucking movie.
Like, oh, yeah?
That is one of my favorite movies of all time, just because of how ridiculous it is and how many metal references there are.
Totally, man. Every single time I walk past a Popeye's chicken, I think Popeye's chicken is fucking awesome. actually fun story that you'll like if you're into that whole scene. Alan Covert, the guy who played the kind of gay roommate in the movie,
yeah,
and who was like Otto, the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
Right.
And he's in like every Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the producer on the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he hung out like all the time. And I was this 19-year-old kid, you know, my first job in the industry. I'd been working there for like 2 or 3 months. And coming from Montana, I didn't always lock my door at night. So one night, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get woken up by somebody coming into my apartment. And like, I jump out into the living room in my underpants with like the best bludgeoning device I could find, which was a phone. Granted, phones were bigger back then.
They were still made of
plastic. And
a payphone. He just had a payphone.
Yeah. An ancient, old woman who is almost assuredly dead by now. It's been 14 years. And she's on a rocker trying to escape my apartment. And, so I go back to bed, and then I tell my my friend Kevin, who worked there and actually was the art director on both Dragon Fantasy games eventually. Kevin, I told him about it, and he started calling me Grandma's Boy. And everybody started calling me Grandma's Boy.
Oh my God.
Are you telling us that you're the inspiration for the movie Grandma's Boy?
I am telling you that I am the inspiration for the movie Grandma's Boy.
That's amazing. Fuck yeah.
How didn't he put you in the movie?
I don't think, I'm not entirely sure he even remembered who I was by the time he wrote it. It was about a year or two later, but,
oh, that's
based on his experiences, working on Little Nicky, you know, loosely based.
Like, that's hysterical. Loosely.
That is. But Alan Cover, if you're listening to this, hit up Adam. Don't be a dick, man.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, man.
You named your movie after him.
Give him a little kickback, you know.
Give him a part in your next movie.
Yeah.
No, maybe I should call them up, try to get a part. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They give Rob Schneider work still. I mean, fuck.
Oh, I know, right? My boss.
In what?
Yeah. You know,
everything. Yeah.
My old bosses are still like in contact with those guys from time to time. So
that's awesome.
I've never really, I kind of want to talk to, apparently, you know, I'm the namesake of the movie, but the character of Nick Swartzen's character is the one that's me. Cause I was the young kid. So,
yeah.
You
know, oh, that's so funny.
The hot rod bed.
My God.
So one of these days, if I ever see Nick Swartzen, I want to talk to him and be like, hey, remember Grandma's Boy? I'll be like, no,
that was me. Hey, listen, that movie. I love that movie.
I do, too.
I thought it was fantastic.
In all honesty, I consider that movie to be the quintessential movie about the video game industry. Like, there aren't a lot of movies about the game industry, but that one is the most accurate movie that there is about games, you know. Like, it's not that accurate, but it's definitely the most accurate. Like, I, you know, it's got that sort of like, he's making a game with a fucking Xbox controller, which is totally, you know, I don't know why everybody thinks video games are made with Xbox controllers, but
because they don't.
He says so.
Yeah,
keyboards, that's what we program with, keyboards. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it really captures the sort of like immaturity and camaraderie of the game business. So,
did
I,
you have DDR wars during the making of Little Nicky?
there were lots of different wars during the making of Little Nicky.
I kind of figured. I knew that had to be one thing that they weren't trying to exaggerate.
Knife fights in the back alley.
not too far from it. I mean, like,
everybody knows you run faster with the knife.
Why go actually in the alley? Just do it in the office.
One of the artists on that got in a big fight with a guy about whether or not wushu was martial arts or dancing. And I think they actually did get in a fight in the alley.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. And one of them knew wushu.
The other one asked. So it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah. Also, that dude was like 7 feet tall, had a giant fro, and one dead eye. So, you know, not to be trifled with.
So, yeah, just by the description alone, I would not fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
Someone with a dead eye you don't want to fuck with in general.
No.
Because there's a reason it's dead. No. Someone murdered that eye.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me give a shout out to Pete Ward right now. I miss you, man. Yeah.
Make sure to tell them to listen to this episode.
So, I mentioned you. Yeah, let's see. Where was Oh, I'm supposed to talk about my game. Probably,
yeah,
right? I don't even. We could just talk about stories the whole time.
I could talk about Little Nicky for like an hour. I could do that too.
I could talk about like old SNES RPGs for years.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I think I'm doing a panel at PAX East about that, assuming it gets accepted. I've been doing panels with Dale North from Destructoid, editor in chief, also the composer for Dragon Fantasy II's soundtrack, and Jason Schreier from Kotaku and Alexa Ray I'm friends with her, but I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I think it's just Korea, but from Polygon. So the four of us have been doing panels about RPGs, and so we're doing that at PAX East. I'm looking forward to it.
I have tickets. It's just a matter of can I afford to get to chip in on the hotel room and the gas and all that stuff. So
don't have tickets, so I'll be sitting at home playing Xbox.
Which is fine as well, but
unless you want to smuggle me in,
it would be very difficult to smuggle a man of your stature.
Get a big box.
It would be rather difficult. You're a very large man.
Well, since you mentioned him, we'll divert from the history for a minute to just ask how you met Dale North.
I met Dale North from doing that podcast. I actually had met him once before, but you know, briefly. Not podcast, panel. So, you know, I guess they needed somebody to fill in. They had a fourth. He couldn't make it. I ended up taking the slot. And, you know, we all kind of got along pretty well. So we've been doing it ever since. So it was really cold. It was in Boston. And we decided to take a cab from where we were discussing what we were going to talk about to the hotel, which was like two blocks tops. And in that cab ride, Dale North said something along the lines of, how come nobody ever asks me to do soundtracks for video games? And I said, oh, I didn't know you were available. And he said, I would kill to do it. And I said, well, you know, like, unfortunately, our composer from book one's already working on it. Otherwise, I'd talk to you. But then, as it turned out, our composer's wife got pregnant and he became incredibly too busy to finish book two. So I called up Dale and I said, hey, do you want to do this? And he said something along the lines of like, you know, I will move heaven and earth to make it happen. And
then he talked about corgis.
Up the email. Yeah, I know. Right. Big, like, I was gonna go use my standard go-to, like I'd stab a puppy to do that. But then I thought, wait, no, Dale would never, ever say that. So he did the music. And he did it in like 6 weeks and it was amazing. I mean, like almost every single track in that game was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted for the game. And like, you know, he's a magnificently talented man. I have nothing but good things to say about him.
Yeah, like, he's okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, I get to do panels with him every 6 months or so. So that's awesome. And nothing but respect. I love that guy. And that soundtrack of his is available now on Scarlet Moon Records.
Yes, I actually I helped out at the merch table at MAGFest.
Oh,
that's actually awesome. How I found out about like this CD and your game and everything, because I was sitting at the table. And
with
I was
Jason
with Jason and them. And he's just like giving me the rundown. Cause he had to go and get food or something like that. He's like, do you want to just take care of the table for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. That's fine. So he's giving me the rundown and essentially giving me the pitch for like every CD. And then he gets to yours and he's like, oh yeah, Dale North. And I'm like, like that Dale North. He's like, yeah, that Dale North. So that's actually how I found out about the whole thing, is just being at MAGFest and selling the CDs.
Nice. Well, thank you. I'm sure Dale North appreciates the marketing support.
It was all I literally had to do when I was sitting at the table. I was like, oh, and this CD, it's fucking Dale North. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I got to grab that.
I wonder how many people don't know that Dale actually does music, and they're just like, well, he just writes for he's the editor of Destructoid. Like, does he do music?
Like, no, he just, you know, mumbles into a microphone. That's the whole soundtrack.
Have you ever heard him sing?
I mean, he could do that.
I have.
Oh my God. Dale has the voice of a soulful black man. He does. He really does.
As opposed to a not soulful black man.
Well, I've met some non-soulful black men.
There's got to be one. There's got to be one. Only one.
Yeah, DMX.
Yeah.
No. Have you ever heard him sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? It's fantastic.
It's not soulful. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hey, just because he's got a raspy voice doesn't mean he doesn't feel.
I need to catch up. I've been listening to Dale North's Super Mario Sleigh Ride for over a decade now, I think. Every single Christmas.
That's didn't we use that for an episode?
Yeah, I think we used it for our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Back when the one-ups were still called the one-up mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's back when I first met Dale. Like, I met Dale at the very first MAGFest, like, 12, 13 years ago.
Jeez.
Yeah, so
I was just a fanboy of his. I didn't even know who he was. I just knew that I really liked that song. Seriously, every Christmas for like a month, you know, I just bust that out. And I asked him one time, I was like, you're the Dale North that did that. And he's like, oh God, that song, it's not that good. I was like, yes, it's brilliant. He's got the creator's dilemma to be sure. You know, like he's so vastly talented, and he gets so much more talented every time he does anything that, you know, he hates all of his older stuff, I think, but I don't know for sure. I just know
that's how most artists are. Anyone in a creative field, that's pretty much how they feel.
Yep.
Because I hate pretty much everything that I've done all the way up until now.
Yeah, me too.
It's
me
all too. Shit in my eyes. Yeah, I have, like, out of all the songs that I've ever written, I think I still like maybe two.
Jeez.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Dragon Fantasy. It's a piece of shit.
And fuck that game. Couldn't hit any of the monsters.
I did change the hit rate.
I'm going to have to go back and retry it.
Yeah, well, wait for it, because I'm working on this 3DS version where we're adding monsters on the maps, so no more random battles in book one. So, like, you know, the 3DS version, you go into a dungeon, there will be visible monsters. They move when you move. It's Luffy at two rules.
Nice.
You can turn it off. You can go back to random battles if you want an old school, you know, experience, just like you can turn off the 16-bit style graphics and the 16-bit style music. But, like, because I really want to make sure that the original, you know, relatively crappy version of the game persists forever, but I just keep adding stuff to it, you know. Like, I mean, you know, when you make a retro-inspired RPG, if you are doing it right, it's gonna be really old and, you know, like play like a game from the 80s, and that's exactly what I was going for. But as I've continued to work on the game, because I like to do that, I've added all this stuff that makes it like optionally more modern. And the 3DS version, you know, with like the maps on the bottom screen and like all that stuff, like it really feels nice. So I'm super excited about it. And eventually we will bring all of those new features to other platforms, but 3DS first.
So what platforms is the game out on now? I know it's on PS3 and Vita, coming to 3DS. What else?
Yep. So book one is on iOS, Mac, PC, Android, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and we'll be coming to 3DS. Book two is just on PlayStation 3 and Vita right now. We can bring it to other platforms, you know, whenever we want now, but we've just been so exhausted from having shipped the game. We're just now spinning back up into like active, you know, development mode. We basically all needed a vacation after 2.5 years of solid Dragon Fantasy work. It's, you know, it's a lot of work to make an RPG, especially from scratch, you know? I mean, like, yeah, every time somebody posts on a forum or something, RPG Maker, you know, I mean, like, I built the rendering engine, you know? It's all C++. Like, every single thing in that game, with the exception of an HTML parser and a Base64 parser and a JSON parser. That's it. I don't like writing parsers. Everything else I wrote.
Wow.
And book two, I use bullet physics, box 2D physics, but that's it. So, you know, yeah, needed break.
So how many people do you essentially use on your development team? Like how many coders other than yourself is it?
Dragon Fantasy 1 was programmed pretty much entirely by me. Wow. Brian, my business partner, is doing the 3DS port stuff now, and he did the PlayStation 3 and Vita. You know, basically it's just drivers. It's like a graphics driver and that's it.
Right.
And an audio driver. So he did those on those three platforms, and the PC version also. Basically he did the porting drivers. For book two, it was all so mostly me, except for the multiplayer, which didn't end up shipping. Brian did the multiplayer, which we will someday, I promise, we will finish that multiplayer and get that in there, but I don't know when.
The reason why I ask basically is because I did a little bit of programming when I was in high school, and mm-hmm. I made like a real like crappy RPG like as my final project for the one class that I was in, and it took me mm-hmm. for fucking ever, and it was never done, and like I just remember the amount of fucking time that I had to put into that. So making a full-fledged, actually shippable, like, you know, like legitimate project, like I could just imagine how much of a fucking headache and how much time really had to go into it, because like it's just it's especially when you're working with essentially an extremely small amount of individuals, if not just one.
Yeah. Programming wise, it was essentially just me most of the time.
Like that's absurd. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. You know, and I programmed it. I wrote the story, and I did the background art. Kevin James did all the sprites.
Wait, the Kevin James?
What, like
the King of Queens?
Huh, like not, Paul Blart?
Not that Kevin James, no.
Oh,
not
okay.
That
Kevin James.
Paul Blart worked on your game.
I mean, Alan Covert knows Kevin James also, so I think he made the Kevin James in a lab after meeting all of us. No, Kevin James, our art director, who's out in Michigan, but was working with me at Digital Eclipse way, way, way back in the day. He did all the sprites. He's an amazing, you know, animator. I think he really captured the Super Nintendo feel. And then Dale did the music, and then, you know, like Brian and Bill from Muteki, you know, both worked on the project more, like Brian more on the side. Bill was doing production, like helping with level design and doing some scripts, and he wrote all the bounty hunts. Basically the fact that the game has a bounty hunt system at all is thanks to him. And then, you know, Morgan Tucker and Devin Nixon, who are friends of mine, did sound effects for book two. And they did the original trailer music, which didn't end up being in the game because Dale did the soundtrack. And my wife did like came in the last 3 months to help us finish the game and did like the Bandit Cave maps and a bunch of other stuff. So all told, there were like 9 people on it, but most of those 9 people were only on it for, you know, a couple of months.
That's nuts.
The rest, Kevin and I and to a somewhat lesser degree, Bill, were on it for the majority of 2.5 years.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yep. Holy crap.
Yep.
So what else do you have in store? I mean, is there any other projects that you're currently like, you got your eyes on that you kind of want to work with other than this
Call
series?
Of Duty, Dragon Fantasy, Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Fantasy.
Call of Dragons.
We do want to do Dragon Fantasy Book 3 at some point. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon because gathering up the chutzpah to do a third RPG is challenging.
Chutzpah.
Although I do expect it to not take as long because 3D, you don't have to like hand animate everything.
Yeah.
And you know, Book 2 plays more or less like a modern RPG. So all the systems are there. It just has to have 3D assets instead of 2D. So programming wise, it shouldn't be too hard. And 3D assets are easier to make than high end 16-bit. You know, the higher end of retro is really hard to make. It's very time consuming. So there's Dragon Fantasy Book 3, which I want to do. And then I'm thinking, you know, while we're taking like a lower profile, I'm planning on like trying to do like one game a month just as soon as I finish all these Dragon Fantasy 1 and 2 ports. So I want to try to like make a bunch of little arcade games.
That'd be neat.
Yeah. I just recently ported Dragon Fantasy Book 1 to this thing called Emscripten that lets you compile C++ code to run in JavaScript.
Oh, nice.
So I can make the game run in a web browser.
That's pretty cool.
And it's really neat. Yeah, it's like it made me feel like I was a hacker god. But I'm thinking I might, you know, make a bunch of little games and just stick them up on mutekicorp.com as like an arcade. And if people get excited about a certain game or 2 or 3 or whatever, then I'd continue working on them.
Like your own personal candy stand.
Like, sure. Yeah, exactly. like Congregate, only we'll just call it Adam Gregate.
only not Gregate.
Yeah, yeah, that's funnier than what I said, because what I said wasn't funny.
Adam,
I'm a writer.
Yeah.
If a couple of them become popular, you could always group them together and maybe throw them on the 3DS eShop or on the Vita,
exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's Google exactly Play Store. Mobile games are big. I play a lot of mobile games.
I'll be that guy and recommend that maybe you could look into like the Windows Phone Store.
Because you're the only person that owns one.
Like, I would love to get the Dragon Fantasy games on Xbox Arcade or my Windows Phone. I mean, if Final Fantasy 3 could be on my Windows Phone, Dragon Fantasy could be on my fucking phone.
And you know, it's definitely like something I want to do at some point. I haven't had the time, and it is like a smaller market generally, but I'm good.
Well, chop, you son of a bitch. I'm waiting.
I know. I'm good friends with the guy in charge of ID at Xbox, Chris Charla. So, you know, one of these days I do intend to do that. You know, if not for you, then for him.
There you go.
Fuck him. I'm important.
I'm sure it's not a huge favor to him. He'd be like, great, give me more work. Thanks a lot, Adam.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I'm the Xbox guy. Usually among the group of friends and on Save Continue, the site that this is on. And I'd definitely buy the games again if they showed up on Xbox Live or Windows Phone.
Xbox, we're definitely going to be porting it to both games at some point.
Nice. 360, or are you going to try doing it like a compilation for Xbox One?
Whichever it ends up being at the time, you know, like 360 would be great. One would be great. Both would be better. You know, the game is really, really portable. You know, we built, like, when Brian and I worked in mobile, like before the iPhone, back when it was like all these like weird Brew and J2ME phones, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them. And they were all different. You know, we got really good at porting. So nice. Now that there's only like, you know, 15 things we need to port to, you know, like iPhone, Android.
You're not going
to
put it on BlackBerry, are you?
No.
No.
You know.
That's why I was like, wait a minute. How many things are you really trying to put it on here?
No. You know, my interest is in consoles, you know, 3DS, hell, Wii. You know, but
I do love my 3DS. I'm actually really excited to play the 3DS version.
Yeah, well, right before you guys called, I was playing Zelda on there, and I love it.
Which Zelda?
And I'm the new one.
Nice.
The Link Between Worlds.
It's fantastic. It's so good.
Anybody who was playing Zelda on the Super Nintendo in the 90s is just like, it's so great. Like, and I really love the. They changed up how the treasure structure of the game works so that it feels like less like you go to this dungeon and you go to that dungeon and you go to this dungeon. I'm doing them all out of order and it's great.
Yeah, it's very open ended.
Wait, you could do them out of order?
The first little bit of the game, you have to do in a certain order, but once you get to like the second world, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
I need to play this game because that was the one thing that always tripped me up more than anything on certain Zelda games. Yeah. Fuck, man.
Instead of finding all the tools in the dungeons, like they have a shop where you could rent them until you die.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
That's interesting.
It's really, really interesting. It plays more like Mega Man as a result. Less like Mega Man, more like Metroid. I don't know. Anyway, however it plays, like I ended up doing the fifth dungeon in Lorule first. And it worked. And then I went back and did the first one and I was a little overpowered for it by that point, but like it was still, you know, the puzzle was the challenge, not the slashing the dudes with the swords. It worked really, really well. Maybe I'll experiment with something like that at some point in my one game a month kind of thing.
The 3D effect is really good in that game too.
It is, yeah.
I tell you what, even the 3D effect when I played the Ocarina of Time port was awesome. Like I was actually blown away with it. I mean, like, oh, the 3D kind of messes with my eyes a little bit, but what I was doing is essentially going through the game, and then any time that there was so much as a little bit of a cutscene, I'd turn that slider up and be like, oh my god, this looks so fucking cool. All right, now I got to play again. Like,
yeah. Did you see Fire Emblem?
I got it. I played it for a little while, but then I just got so busy that I just couldn't put the time back into it, but that was gorgeous as well.
Yeah.
Those cutscenes in that are just mind blowing good looking.
Yeah, the cutscenes where they don't have feet.
Yeah.
No, the ones where like it's like a, you know, a 3D anime sequence.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There aren't as many of those. They're all amazing. And I got to one while I was on the train and I had the 3D all the way down and I watched it. Because I, you know, it's kind of hard to have the 3D up while you're on a train and getting jostled around and stuff, hard to focus. So I just turned it off and I came back. I did that level over again so I could watch it in 3D when I was sitting at home. it's gorgeous. That's on my backlog. I really need to get, you know, once I finish this Zelda, I'm going to go back and finish Fire Emblem. I only got halfway through it, which was a crying shame.
So speaking of backlogs,
February is fast approaching.
February is pretty much here.
Yeah, and with our first episodes last year, since we're coming up on our 1 year, we did something called 4 for February, where all of us on the show picked 4 games that we were going to try to beat in the month of February. And what the hell? We might as well do that again, huh?
Yeah, now that I have like a bunch of stuff left over from like Humble Bundles and and all the Steam and Amazon sales and Christmas and hoopla.
Well, let's start with the guest. You mentioned Zelda. You want to, or no, Fire Emblem. You want to finish that. What other games would you like to finish in the month of February?
Let's see. I'll cop out and say Zelda because I think I won't finish it until February. But you know what? That's a cop out. Fire Emblem, definitely. I loved that. And I need to finish it. I would like to go back and play Pikmin 3, which I haven't. I bought it. I have it shrink wrapped. I just haven't played it.
You sound like me.
Yeah.
What was that?
I said you sound like me.
Yeah. I think I've got Xeno Saga for Wii still shrink wrapped, and that came out years ago now. Xenoblade. Yeah. I guess all the Xeno games.
I'm going to encourage you to. I haven't tackle that one.
Actually, I haven't beaten Xenogears because I got to the end of the game and my disc has a scratch on it, so I never actually.
Oh no!
Yeah, worst thing ever. Okay, so then I've got Pikmin, I've got Fire Emblem. I'm probably not going to play Xenoblade anytime soon because it's on the Wii.
Pop it in a Wii U,
but Wii. I want a Wii U so bad, so fucking bad.
They're actually pretty nice. You know?
They're awesome. Like I have my PC. Yeah. And I'm using that primarily for the majority of my gaming. I have my 3DS, and then the only other thing I want is a Wii U. That will cover all of my bases.
Well, I was going to say I'm also playing Mario 3D, Mario World U, 3D U, whatever
3D
it is.
Land
the
World.
One that just came out.
Yeah.
The awesome
I'm
one.
I'm on like World 4, so I'm going to try to beat that. And then the other one I think would be the Wonderful 101.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm gonna go for the triple play of Wii U games.
It's very Nintendo focused. Your list.
I'm a Nintendo focused kind of guy. Like I mean, you know, I have a lot of respect for all three console developers. Sony has been absolutely wonderful to us at Muteki, and I love a lot of games on Sony platforms, but I will always have a special place in my heart for Nintendo stuff. You know, I should probably come up with something on other platforms though.
That was so PR sounding. Yeah, Sony's been a wonderful partner to us.
Well, yeah, but here's
it's okay. Nobody listens to us. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing though. They have been like, those guys are fucking great. Like my friend, so Shane, who works there, was our rep, and he's amazing, probably the most helpful guy on the planet. And then, like, my friend John, worked at Sega, and now he works at Sony. So, like, I've got, I've just got a ton of friends at Sony, and I want to be like, I don't want them to be like, why aren't you playing our console? And I love your console. I just, PlayStation 4 doesn't have a lot of the games that are my genre yet, bright colors and RPGs and stuff like that.
Knack.
I'm sure it will.
Knack
we bought one for Octodad. Octodad.
I've heard about it. I haven't actually played it or seen it yet. So
not out yet.
Octodad is so freaking cool. And I just found out today that they added a local co-op. So, like, four people control Octodad, and I think each person controls one limb.
Oh, God.
So, I heard it described. Think of it this way. Somebody from the team, but I could be wrong, somebody described it as, imagine if all the pilots of Voltron were having a fight. It's going to be so cool. And my wife and I got the PlayStation 4 just for that. And I don't think it comes out for PlayStation 4 for another month or two, but that's where I'm going to play it. So that might not be February, but I got my 4 for February. And then in March, I will play Octodad.
Nice.
Whenever it comes out. And I'm going to look that up. What are you guys going to do?
How about you, Chris? Go ahead.
Well, I've been putting off actually finishing this game for a while. I think I'm going to actually finish Pokemon.
Pokemans?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't even know how... Like, I want to say I'm pretty far into it, but I just, like, I have not even picked that game up in months. like, I binged on it. I think I might be up to maybe, like, the sixth gym or something like that. So I know I don't have much more to go. I just haven't done it. So I'm gonna try and see if I could finish that. At least, like, beat, well, whatever the Elite Four is, because I'm assuming that's in it, like, or something similar. So if I can take care of that, I'll chalk that up as a win. I got all of the Max Payne games for really cheap. I've never played even, like, the first one. So I have the first, the second, and the third that I've never played. So I think I might want to try and see if I could at least just get through Max Payne 1. Just to kind of, like, diversify a little bit.
Yeah.
So those two... I do have Far Cry 3 that I didn't even touch yet.
Oh, that's such a fun game, too.
So I might do that one. What else, man? I know I have like a pretty decent backlog. Here, I wonder. Let's see here. Can I log into my Steam on my laptop here and see what I got here? Let's find out.
I got to finish Ni No Kuni.
Oh, God.
I got to the end of that.
Where is my Steam?
There you go. There's your Sony game that you'll...
Yeah, perfect.
Add to your 4 for February.
All right, let's see here. I'm connecting to my Steam account right now, so just give me a moment. I did start playing Terra. I'm not going to finish that in February.
No, that's an MMO.
That's an MMO. You don't finish. So
Guacamelee, too. I got to the... You guys play Guacamelee?
I did.
I haven't. I looked at... Like, I want to try it. It looks really, really cool.
It's a blast.
Yeah, it's magnificent. But when you get to this boss towards the end of the game, Javier Jaguar...
Oh, he was a dick.
Fucking hard. And I was like at a thing with the guy from what's the name of their studio? Well, whatever their studio's name is. And
I can't even read that.
This guy's too hard. Will you beat him for me?
Will you beat
him? He's like, yeah, bring me your Vita. And I never got around to it. But he apologized to me for how difficult he was. Great game, though.
Sorry. Shit, go ahead. Your Steam library is huge.
All right, let's see here. What do I want to try and finish or play even? Because some of these I haven't even played yet.
Max Payne.
Yeah, I'll do like I said, I'll do Max Payne 1. I'll do Pokemon. Actually, I want to do Sonic Adventure 2. I don't think I played 2. And I got that one. So I think I want to do that one. Maybe, well, either that one or another Sonic game. Maybe Sonic Generations. Should I do Generations?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Okay, so Generations.
Pokemans, Pokemon, Max Payne, and Max Far Cry 3.
Maybe Far Cry 3 is going to take me so long, though, isn't it?
Only if you're a completionist. Main story isn't like super, super long.
Or Dead Island Riptide, actually. What do I want to do? Now I have to prioritize. I'm going Pokemon. Let's go. We'll go Pokemon. We'll do.
Well, he picked 5, so you could pick 5 and just try to get at least 4 of them.
At least 4 of them in. All right. So then Pokemon, Dead Island Riptide, Far Cry 3, Max Payne 1.
Sonic Generations.
Sonic Generations. Was that it?
Yep.
I think it was it. All right. So I've got plenty. I've got a lot of stuff that I still have never even booted up Civilization 5. I still have never booted up Serious Sam 3. I've got so much stuff. Like Orcs Must Die, I've never even played them, but I have both of them.
I bought the Pokemans and I haven't even put them on.
Pokemon. It's good. It's really, really good. I enjoy it.
I like Pokemon just in general, you know. I mean, obviously, like I did monster catching in Dragon Fantasies 1 and 2 now.
Yeah.
You know, like the concept is great. I just, you know, haven't had the time.
Yeah, and you know what?
Making
and
video Pokemon, games, it's hard to play video games.
The new Pokemon, the pacing is kind of strange at the beginning. Like you'll hit like, from what I remember, I did like the first one or two gym battles, and then like I didn't see another gym for like hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. Like there was just like, you do the first one or two, you don't want to see one for like ever, and then all of a sudden they're like boom, 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 there's some more gyms. Like it was weird.
You know, they've always had like, they're very, very strange from a game design perspective. You know, like a lot of it makes perfect sense, and then just parts of it are just really weird, like the kind of stuff they tell you to never do, or whoever they would be, but they make it work.
I don't know. They have their formula that just kind of fits. I mean, it's like when you go into a Pokemon game, like I've only played a few of them, but every time I go into it, like I kind of know what to expect. And there are like some very welcome differences in this new one. That's why, like, you know, I don't know why I haven't actually gotten to finish it. I've just been procrastinating, I guess. So
dick.
Yeah, I think that's honestly gonna be the main one. Like if I don't finish any of the other games for my 4th for February and I fall short, like I'm gonna make sure I at least finish Pokemon.
It's a good goal.
Yeah, that seems like a sound plan.
So what about you, Joe? I know you've got a back catalog that you know.
We don't want to talk about my back catalog.
It'll make people weep.
We'll talk about your mom's back catalog.
Ooh,
your mother's a nice lady.
Let's see. The first one.
Your own back catalog.
The first one I really want to take care of. It's been sitting on my hard drive for a while. I've been playing it on and off for almost a year now. I want to finish Sleeping Dogs.
Like, finish it.
Like, finish the story. I'm not going to 100% it because fuck the races in that game, but...
I got Sleeping Dogs. That was that's in my back catalog as well, but I have never even booted it up. I don't even know what it's like.
It's along the lines of, like, Grand Theft Auto. It's a lot of fun. It's really, really good.
Cool.
I did the DLC on it already, but I haven't finished the main story, and I actually picked it up again last night, and... Between the game and the DLC on my 360 hard drive, it's chewing up like 13 gig.
Wow.
So I want to clear that the fuck off.
Well, that's even with me. Like Borderlands 2, I still haven't gotten through the DLC that I got from the season pass.
Yeah.
I still have like I still have like three more things to go through. Like actual like DLC campaigns.
Yeah. Well, the reason that the DLC takes up so much space on the 360 is the way that they handled like the patching and the updates for everything is they include the patches with the DLC. With all the DLC.
Oh.
So every bit of the, like, even if it's like a character costume pack, like you get the costumes for the guy from Hitman, the guy from Just Cause, 700 meg.
Oh, God.
It's stupid. So I want to clear that off. I want to finish Sleeping Dogs and just wipe all that shit off the hard drive.
Yep.
And just get some space.
So you can put, you know, your custom Rock Band charts for Wrecking Ball on there.
No, all the Rock Band stuff goes on its own separate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, stuff. You have a separate hard drive for that.
I want to take care of Rise on the X-Bone.
Oh, that should be doable.
I've gotten a decent way through it, and then I just started playing other stuff. So I want to finish that off. I think I'm going to try and beat Knack.
Yeah, that'd be solid.
Because now it's been a couple
How
of...
How is that?
I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I know it got kind of shat on in the reviews, but it's...
Yeah, I know how getting shat on in reviews is.
Yeah, like GameSpot giving you a 3 for some stupid reason.
Seriously?
Yeah. GameSpot and IGN both took a big dump on the game.
Yeah, fuck them. They don't matter.
Yeah.
But Knack, it's
like all the small sites loved it, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they don't matter. But yeah, Knack is a lot like the old school platformers, like the days of the PS1, N64, like the classic 3D platformers. Like it feels a lot like
a Banjo-Kazooie-esque type of...
Okay. Just the feel of it. My main gripe with it is when you're small Knack, like earlier in stages, you die so fucking easily. And it's so hard to get health back sometimes. Like there'll be... You'll get attacked twice and you're dead. Like that's my biggest gripe is how unfair the game could be to you when you're small.
Yeah.
But once you grow in size and you're big Knack, you're just whipping the shit out of everything. And I like how they handle upgrades in the game where they have treasure chests hidden around and you could go in there and get an upgrade. And they're all random upgrades. And you have to collect so many pieces to complete an upgrade and have it. But when you go there, you can either get the one that's randomly picked for you, or if you have friends who played, you could look at what they collected and pick something there. So, you know, you open a chest, you could, depending on how many friends you have, you could pick from a whole bunch of different upgrade pieces.
And whatever is going to be the one that's going to benefit you the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even they have rarities on it, so you could just focus on getting the hard to find stuff first.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really cool way that they handled that. You still have to beat the game a couple of times to get all the upgrades, but and then my fourth one,
Skylanders.
This one I don't know if I'll be able to get this because I haven't played it at all yet, but I've always wanted to. I think I'm going to try to tackle Dishonored.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I've heard so much good about the game, and I just never got to it yet, and I think I should.
There you go. Now's about the time.
So that's my four. I'm trying to branch out and pick from different consoles.
Yeah, that's a solid, like, it's well-rounded. Yeah, that makes sense. It's good. I can get behind it.
Mm-hmm. I think I could at least get two of them done.
Yeah, that's even me. If I can at least get, like, Pokemon... Maybe Max Payne 1. If I can at least get those two. Because everybody's like, you've never played a Max Payne game before? I'm like, no, I haven't.
I never
like,
have.
But I've heard nothing but amazing things for it. So,
my biggest concern is that like I just got Tomb Raider for the Xbox One. And I want to play through that again. So that's going to eat up time. Fable Anniversary comes out next week. Also next week is Bravely Default. So I'm going to be...
Oh, my God.
So fuck you, February.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going
to... If I get Zelda and... I don't know. Fire Emblem. And then Bravely Default. That's what's going to happen, I bet you.
Yeah. I mean,
Pikmin will have to keep waiting.
Pikmin and Wonderful 101 can just sit around and...
Yeah,
like I don't think I'm going to get to Dishonored, but I'd like to.
But very, very good.
I think we have some good lineups. We'll have to get in touch with you at the end of February, beginning of March, and either have you back on or you could email into us and let us know how you handled your four for February.
Sure. Speaking of email, we have an email, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we did. I should probably load that up.
You probably should. Because we're getting to the tail end roughly.
Oh, we're at an hour now.
Good times. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Good time.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
When you're talking about Woo! Alan Covert.
Hell yeah,
Grandma's boy.
Dude,
password. God damn it, Gmail.
I fucking love Little Nicky so like I quote it all the time, all the time. I used to know that . You could put the movie on and just put it on mute, and I would be able to do every line of the entire movie. Like, not miss a fucking beat. I know that's not a good thing, but I will admit to it. Like,
now that makes me so very happy, because I honestly do like that movie. Like, I had the movie, like, on a VHS tape before it came out. It was just a rough cut, and there was so much funny stuff they cut out of the movie because it was so dirty. So dirty.
So shoving a pineapple up Hitler's ass was still That was still cool.
That wasn't dirty. That they kept that. There was it was so much worse.
There's boobs on that guy's head.
Freaking Kevin Nealon.
Are there boobs on my head? Fun. Really nice
that,
ones.
That game seriously was probably still the most fun I've ever had. You know, Dragon Fantasy was great. I got to do whatever.
I need to find this game. I haven't played the game.
Little Nicky?
Yeah.
I did the mini games, and everybody seemed to like the mini games.
What was the platform?
Game Boy.
You know, the base of the game is like a, you know, it's a platform. Excuse me, it's a platformer, and it's funny and it's well presented. But
was it Game Boy or Game Boy Color?
Yeah, Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color.
I'm gonna have to find that.
I have to be an asshole and look for a ROM and then play it on my Wii.
No,
do it.
No, how the hell am I gonna find that cart? Yeah.
I'll find one.
I promise you, every single person who worked on that game gives you permission.
Well, in that case...
Shit that old. I mean, I can't just go to GameStop and be like, hey, do you have Little Nicky for the Game Boy Color?
No, but you could look online. The interwebs is a magical place.
Okay, and if it's used, they don't get any money anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Like we're getting a check for it. Yeah. So
well, I'll look for a new one. I'll look for a new one!
If you can find an actual copy of it, that's awesome. You know, I mean, it's a cool game to have.
So if I find a copy of it, can I mail it to you to have you sign it and then send it back to me?
Wouldn't be the first time I've signed one.
Fuck, I'm pulling up Amazon first.
Find a copy of this game. That would be I honestly, you know, Joe's a collector. He's got a lot of collector's editions of games and a bunch of memorabilia and stuff like that. I really do not have any collector stuff at all, but that would be something that I would be so into. It's not even funny. Like, just to say that, like, you know, that would be one of the things that I held on to. Like, that's me. Like, that's a thing that I could see myself doing.
Oh, my God.
You guys remember when Ridiculous Fishing came out and there was that whole thing with, like, the other... like ripoff game of Ridiculous Fishing that was Ninja Fishing or something like that. And they were like, our game got ripped off. Did you hear about that?
No.
I heard about...
Despite the jokes at the beginning of the show, I don't give a fuck about fishing games.
So when Blambeer put out Ridiculous Fishing, I thought about calling up, you know, Happy Madison and being like, hey, I want to port Little Nicky's mini games to iPhone just so I can say, like, here's my fishing game. Because you fish with John Lovitz on a string and you toss them out fast.
Oh, my God.
How diddly-dee are those things for me?
So, Game Boy Color, Little Nicky on Amazon. They have...
Nice.
Believe it or not, there are some new copies.
Fuck yes!
Wow.
I don't think that it's anything that like they would get money for. It's probably just resale, new collector stuff. The cheapest one is $27.38 with $4 shipping.
That's worth it. That's so worth it.
They also have it for $45.49. Or cartridge only used... 50 cents,
or 50 cents
with $4.53 shipping.
Sounds about right. I have a box copy personally.
I tell you what, if I can make that box copy happen, like that is absolutely getting mailed to you.
Factory sealed.
It's factory sealed.
It's new.
Oh my God.
New means,
dude. That needs to happen.
That's what the word new is.
You need to send that to my email.
I'm honestly sad, like, talking about Game Boy Color games, I'm so sad that I no longer have my complete boxed copy of Shantae.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? That is worth so much.
One of the things I've been doing a little bit in my spare time, I started porting Dragon Fantasy 1 to Game Boy Color.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah,
do it and so put a ROM more. Out.
Yeah, I just started messing around with it. It's way too much work to finish, but
oh my God, that's hilarious!
But it was pretty cool.
Is that that's one of those things? It's a project that you put on your tablet that you work on while you're pooping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like
Yeah, actually, I wrote a good chunk of the code in like notes on my iPhone while I was driving to my grandmother's house.
He didn't text and drive. Obviously, he coded and drove.
That's even worse,
yeah,
man.
No, I was shotgun.
Oh my lord.
Oh wow. Okay, so after that tangent, how about that email?
We actually have two emails.
That's absurd.
The first one, surprise, surprise, is from Zach.
Hi, Zach.
He says, congratulations on turning 50, you old bastards. I haven't had a lot of time to write in lately, so here are some comments on the last couple episodes. He actually sent this before last week's.
Oh, okay. But
with Chris, I just never even bothered checking. First, fuck me, that post-MAGFest show was friggin' ridiculously long. Since
4 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, after MAGFest, we did a four-hour episode with a bunch of interviews from different people who were there. So that was a long one. He said, incidentally, the time it takes me to drive to work equated to approximately one interview and song, so that worked out surprisingly well. Even though the episode as a whole was incredibly long-winded, I did really enjoy the idea of breaking it up with music between interviews. Also, shout out to the Fudge Girl from Michigan. I think her name was Elizabeth, maybe? Lizzie. Michigan is my home state, and it's nice to see someone else representing. The interview last week with Big Matt was solid. After hearing fan after fan after fan gush about MAGFest the week before, it was really neat to hear about everything from a behind-the-scenes perspective. Especially from a guy who didn't give a fuck about
it. Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Finally, I get that MAGFest was a blast, and it's been interesting to learn so much about it, but when are you going to get back to standard gaming chatter?
Exactly! Fucking exactly!
I suppose making the last few weeks the MAGcast works out, since there hasn't been an incredible amount of important gaming news lately, but man, am I getting burnt out on every week being MAGFest Central.
Cheers again
on 50, guys. Looking forward to the next 50. To be fair, we only did like 3 weeks of MAGFest shows.
To be fair, we did over a month.
Not really.
As soon as it hit December, like, we were just like, MAGFest!
But actual, like, absolute MAGFest shows, we did the Lumberjack episode, the MAGFest wrap-up, and then the one with Big Matt.
Lonely Rolling Stars, sort of.
That was a Lonely Rolling Stars episode.
Sort of.
Yeah.
And
then we got an email from Randall Drew,
friend
of the show. He says, hey, Joe and Chris, and I guess Tim sometimes.
And I guess Tim sometimes.
Like ellipses and everything. He's like, and Tim sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for all the name drops recently. You dudes keep me entertained and sane for at least 1 to 4 hours a week. So thank you for
1 to 4
all the continuing awesome. I'll definitely have more reason for you to talk about me in the near future, because I'm not a total drooling fanboy. I actually make video game related shit, too. And since insults are mandatory, eat a dick, just one, at the same time. Onward to the 1 year anniversary. Thanks, Randall, you dickhole.
Yep, that's how we operate. Sounds about right.
And then on Facebook, I wished Zach a happy birthday, because it was his birthday yesterday,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And he made the joke that it's nice to know that in between Dark Souls, Fleshlights, and everything else, him being our only listener has become a running joke.
Yep.
So Crunchcast, Fleshlight, Dark Souls, Zach is our only listener.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Although I know Randall listens, so we have two listeners.
We have two listeners now.
I'll still say listener. Two listener.
Two listener. Collectively, they make one listener.
Since Zach wants some video game discussion, maybe we could get some input from you, Adam, on this as well. What are your thoughts on the fact that Microsoft just bought the Gears of War franchise?
Oh,
look at that relevant discussion. Holy shit.
Yeah, you know, I first misread it as that they bought Epic, which I was completely shocked by, but then that was not the case.
That would have been insane.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. You know, I don't know. I honestly, the FPS genre is not like generally my go-to, so I haven't played that much of Gears of War. I suspect that they want to try to tie up exclusives a lot more as best they can, considering that like everybody's kind of the opinion that all games are timed exclusives now.
Yeah.
You know, like it unless it's made by Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo, it's eventually coming to another platform. So we might see a lot of this, especially now that Microsoft has fired like the first salvo, you know, like we might see Sony try to pick up a few key titles. Dragon Fantasy.
No, I want to play that on my Xbox.
No, they're not gonna be buying. I mean, but
no, I know exactly where you're coming from, and I agree personally. You know, when I heard the news, like, I really don't care because I played the game, the Gears of War games, and I really wasn't too much of a fan. Like, the only thing that I played was the Horde mode in 2, mm-hmm. and that's just because like a lot of my friends in college were playing it at the same time, and that was what they were playing, and I wanted to play with them.
Yeah.
So that was it. Like I didn't really enjoy the games too much. Like, I'm not saying that they're bad. It's just not my cup of tea. So I mean, like that's one of those franchises where I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. You know, you have an exclusive, whoop de doo, but you're still not getting me, so I don't care.
Yeah. Like, see, I kind of like the news because I'm a Gears fan. Like, I don't like it for the reason most guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Call of Duty, how it's like the online versus, oh, I want to shoot everyone. I legit love the Gears games for the story and the campaign,
uh-huh.
and the fact that it's co-op.
See, I like that it's a co-op story mode as well,
yeah.
But the thing is, it's just like, I don't know, the main thing with Gears of War games that got me was just the fact that I couldn't strafe when I was running. Like, the whole, like, running and then you're like you start running forward, and if you want to start running to the right, you curve. Like, that pissed me off a lot. Like, just that alone, it was just so like, that made it clunky to me.
Well, it's not really a run-and-gun kind of game. It's a cover shooter.
Not how I played it.
It's meant to be a cover shooter.
Listen, when you give a gun, like, your gun has a built-in chainsaw, it's not a cover shooter. Like,
you got to be smart about when you use it. That's why I like the Retro Lancer, where instead of a chainsaw, it just has a bayonet. So you do that charge right into the guy and you stab him and lift him up.
See, I like the chainsaw. Because, I mean, if you're going to give a guy a chainsaw, I'm going to use the fucking chainsaw.
Yeah, but I loved playing the co-op with it. You know, the campaign, the first two games were 2-player. 3 and Judgment were both 4-player games. And just buddying up with 3 friends, playing through the game and playing together, that's what I like. Horde mode was fun because it's me and 3 friends against a shitload of monsters.
Right, and I like any game that really gives me that because essentially, like those types of games, if I really like the mechanics of it, I essentially just want to hop in, play the game, like, you know, for however long I want to, and then, you know, put it down and have, you know, that's it. Like, yeah. I'm there for a relatively casual experience with those types of things. So a horde mode is the perfect type of game, like game mode for that, because you just hop in, kill a bunch of shit, and you go, all right, I've had my fill, and then you're done.
Yeah, that's how I look at Gears in general, because I don't have to murder everything.
Right.
I can hang back and just suck myself because I'm terrible at shooters.
If you could suck yourself.
I wouldn't even have a wife if I could suck myself.
Okay.
Sorry, Ashley. Love you.
I just wanted to make sure because, you know, as soon as you well, said no,
I
that.
I could be a shitty gamer by myself.
That's okay.
While my friends kill everything and I'll still feel like I contributed because I killed one guy.
You'll feel like you contributed.
Yes, and that's all I need. Personal satisfaction.
Okay, I got you.
But I'm kind of happy that they bought the franchise because for years everyone's like, oh, well, yeah,
Microsoft has... It's a matter of time. Like,
yeah, it's a matter of time before the whole trilogy just comes to PlayStation. And because Epic owned the franchise. Microsoft right. published it. Epic made it and owned the franchise. There was nothing at all stopping them from putting the Gears games on PlayStation.
Nope.
Except a great relationship with Microsoft and presumably a shitload of money.
Probably, yeah.
And now there was another massive shitload of money to ensure that now PlayStation will never get a Gears of War game.
Yep.
And I think Microsoft needs to do that. They need more franchises.
They do. They really do. The only thing, like, whenever somebody said, like, okay, you know, Xbox exclusive, like, only on Xbox you can ever play this type of game. The only ones that came to my mind that were important to me were Halo and Forza. That was it. That was it. Because, I mean, like, even, you know, if you're looking next gen, you know, yeah, they've got Dead Rising, but, you know, there was the Dead Rising version that was on PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3, like the Off the Record or something.
Well, they got Dead Rising 2 and Dead Rising 2 Off the Record.
Right.
I don't think PlayStation ever got the first Dead Rising.
They didn't. But at the same time, they've seen the games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You like it, in my eyes, that's no longer exclusive.
Yeah.
Regardless of like how many, like if it's just a PlayStation version or whatever, just the fact that the game went to the console, it's no longer exclusive in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give Sony all the credit in the world. When it comes to actual franchises and exclusives, Sony's got
exclusive
games out the ass
because
their studios are making games. Microsoft, they haven't really been making many different games, and I think that's a problem. The Xbox One days, they weren't all winners, but you would get shit like Bloodwake. You would get shit like Mad Dash Racing.
Right.
You would get shit like Sudeki. I mean, they were trying. They were putting out new IPs and new games and stuff you'd only get there. And they've gotten into this lull of Halo, Forza, Halo, Forza, Halo, Forza.
Yeah.
Fable here and there. And as much as I love those games, they need more stuff.
Yep. Well, because that's... Like, now
like
let me
Dragon
ask...
Fantasy.
Exactly.
Book 3, exclusive to Xbox One.
So let me ask you this.
You heard it here first, Chris. Make it happen.
10 out of 10, blademode.com.
10 out of 10, yeah. So I don't... So with Fable, they've never put the... Like, the Fable games are literally only Xbox, right?
I think PC as well.
Are they on PC?
I think so.
Because I always wanted to play them and I never got a chance to.
Fable 1 is fantastic. Fable 2 is really, really, really good. Fable 3 is...
I heard is mid.
Best to be ignored.
Okay. So, what is
Fable
this...
Fable Anniversary's coming out.
What is Anniversary? Is that like a...
It's Fable 1 full HD remake, and it's not like, you know, some of the other HD collections where they just pretty up the graphics. They, like, rebuilt it for the Xbox 360. They changed... the control scheme, they changed the menu layouts, they full visual upgrade, and I loved Fable 1, so I'm dying to get my hands on it. And it's only $40.
Oh, that's not too bad.
And because I was lucky, I got in when Amazon was doing it for $30. So Fable Anniversary is only $30 for me.
Well, there you go.
And I'm going to play the shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should probably look into it. I've heard a ton about Fable 2. Like an absolute shit ton.
Well, if you didn't get rid of your Xbox, I would let you borrow it.
I had to buy a Kindle for my fiance. I know. Don't remind me. Because I was hoping that I would see a Wii U.
Yeah.
Under my Christmas tree. And I didn't. I was sad.
But at least you have a 3DS for Dragon Fantasy Book 1.
Yep.
Coming later this year. For the Nintendo 3DS. What's the release date on that, by the way? We should probably get our guest involved in our podcast. Yeah.
We don't have a release date set yet. It should be... I'm expecting before summer.
Late quarter one or early quarter two?
I'd like the former, but might be the latter. I don't know.
Okay. So we'll just say... To be safe, by the end of quarter two?
I heard him say May. I heard him say it's definitely going to be out in May.
Did you say it's going to be May?
It's going to be May.
No, I mean, Ogden, the character of Ogden is based on my dad. My dad's birthday is April 1st. I could shoot for that.
So April 1st, confirmed. Exclusive.
Confirmed
SML,
for Raw.
SML podcast exclusive. And if it doesn't come out April 1st, that was just a big April Fool's joke, and fuck you.
Yeah.
Yo, that would be hysterical. Why don't game companies try and release games on April 1st more often?
Because no one takes it seriously.
Yeah, but that'd be the funniest thing, because you could be like, no, really, it's April 1st. And then people go to buy it like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, yeah, it actually
Half-Life
was April
1st. Half-Life 3, April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, Blademore.com.
Rock Band 4.
Dude, you know what's actually really funny, though? And this is part, this is gaming news as well. They put out the whole new, like, Source 2 engine, like some screenshots between the Source engine and the Source 2 engine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that was in it hints towards a Left 4 Dead 3. So, I mean, it might mm-hmm. actually be closer around the corner than we expect.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, but when are we going to get Half-Life 3, damn it?
Did you hear the thing that, did you hear the thing that, that Gabe did with Reddit?
With the car?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No.
Tell the story, Joe. This will be our last like little quip for the
I don't know all the details. You might know it better than me.
Well, essentially, like from what I understand, like the TLDR of it.
He was trying to like sponsor some kind of race car.
Yeah, like
for
I guess
charity.
He was gonna sponsor some sort of charity event race or something like that. But the only way that he would sponsor it is if they put on the license plate. Like they made the number of the car 3.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, the race car number was number 3.
Yeah. But
he posted it on Reddit and no one took him seriously cuz they didn't think it was him.
Yeah. And then it turns out that it actually was him.
And then over in the car subreddit or whatever,
he posted
was getting tons of notice for that and tons of people paying attention to it
and then people in our gaming were like, "Go fuck yourself."
Half-Life 3 or GTFO.
Half-Life 3 confirmed. No, that I honestly think I think Left 4 Dead 3 is closer than we think. Honestly. I really think it's closer than we think. But
I believe it, yeah.
Because the other thing is, too, is like even with around Christmas time, they made Left 4 Dead 2 free for like a day or two to download. They did the exact same thing with Left 4 Dead 1.
I thought they did it with
Portal.
Right before Portal 2 was announced.
Like, right before Portal 2 was announced. They're like, here's Portal for free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, maybe it's Gabe being a dickhead again. I don't know.
So, is that the last big thing of news we got?
Do we have a weekly womp-womp?
Weekly womp-womp. Do you have any?
Oh, yes, I do. EVE Online.
Oh, God. Adam, did you hear about the EVE Online shit that just went down?
There was a massive, massive battle on the EVE Online community.
It was like some group that didn't pay like a storage fee to some alliance they were with.
Yes.
And the alliance, like the guys who were renting it out, were pissed. And they were going to send out like a quote-unquote friendly reminder. And then the people that were doing the renting decided, hey, fuck it, we're just going to attack you. And it was, what, like over a day of hunts, a gigantic space battle?
Just a gigantic space battle on EVE. It cost $200,000 worth of damage.
Yeah.
In game currency.
Wow.
$200,000.
Like real human American dollars worth of in-game stuff was destroyed in the battle.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking absurd. That is so much, like... See, that's why, like games that, you know, have you buy stuff for the game, like, just, like, the whole... The microtransaction thing, like... That takes it to a whole nother level. They're just like, here, we just got $200,000, and now you guys have nothing to show for it. Like, nothing. Fucking nothing. Like, they're just laughing their way all the way. It's like, yeah, fucking pay for it again, you dumb shits. Like, oh, man. Ugh. Like, that's just, that's my weekly womp-womp. So
just that gigantic battle.
All those people that contributed to that $200,000 price tag, I hope you're happy.
Wah, wah.
I hope you got your money's worth.
You have anything groan-worthy that you know of in gaming, Adam?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. No, I got nothing.
Actually, there is one more weekly womp-womp that I'll give as well.
All right, go ahead.
the president of Nintendo is
taking a half 50% 50%
or, 50% salary cut.
Yeah.
For the next 3 or 4 months, along with a decent amount of his staff, he cut down like 30% or something like that on their salaries, just because of how poor.
You know, I'm not going to give him a wah-wah. I'm going to applaud him for that. He, you know, Nintendo's not performing as expected, and instead of blaming other people and then giving himself a raise or a bonus, he's stepping up and saying, listen, things aren't going the way we want to. We got to change things to make up for it. I'm taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
Like, he's stepping up and taking responsibility for
this. Yeah, I'll give you that one. And I'm sticking with Eve for the womp womp, and then maybe we'll give a tip of the hat. a fanfare.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A fucking fanfare.
I don't know. We'll think of something for a positive.
That's our fucking fanfare of the week.
I don't know. We'll think of something. we'll iron the kinks out for next. We will debut it for next week's episode for our 1 year anniversary.
No, we'll say we will, but we won't think of anything.
I'll think of something. I don't know.
We'll be doing the show. It's like, oh, do we have a name for that yet? No.
No.
Should we have talked about this before we hit record?
Probably.
Did we? No.
No. Well,
Adam, it was a pleasure having you on. We will definitely have to have you back on again, because I'm sure there are still tons of stories you could tell us in between Little Nicky and Dragon Fantasy.
So yeah, that huge span.
Next time I'll tell you about Gauntlet DS. How's that sound?
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be sometime towards the end of February. We'll check early, and see how your games are doing.
Yeah, we'll plan something for March. We'll get you on in early March, and you can tell us how your 4 for February went, and then you can tell us about Gauntlet DS, and then you could tell us more about Alan Covert and Grandma's Boy.
And all right.
This is the point where normally we would ask our guest to pick some music for the week, or we would play something regarding our guest for the week. And I would play some Dragon Fantasy stuff, but we are planning, fingers crossed it still happens, but in 2 weeks we're planning to have Dale on, and we would play some music then. But this week, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dwelling of Duels. In the whole game remixing music community that Dale's a part of, there's a group called The Shiz that every month they have a competition called Dwelling of Duels, where people anonymously submit a song that's based on a theme or a certain game of the month. And I've talked with Chris about this a lot. The main thing is that the main instrument in the song has to be a live instrument. And Magfest is usually their big month of the year, and then they do something fun for the month after. So for January, what they did was a brevity month, where every song submitted had to be under a minute long. So I would love to say who did the songs that were playing, but because they didn't announce winners yet, I don't know who did any of these songs you're about to hear.
So your guess is as good as ours.
The only one I'm really confident in saying is that the opening theme that we had this week was by Aelshan, the Excitebike theme.
But that's also because of the little
Quantum Leap
diddly.
Just the tone of the guitar, it sounds a lot like Drugstore Cell Sparks from Bound Together.
Yeah.
But I'm near positive that's him, although I can't confirm it yet. And then we're going to play a Contra medley, which is actually the entire soundtrack for Contra for the NES.
In under a minute.
In 58 seconds.
Wow.
And I am near positive that that's Grant Henry.
If I had to ponder a guess, that's...
I can't confirm it for sure. We'll know...
We'll find out.
Later this week or next week when the winners are announced. But if I had a guess...
We'll find out.
But I figure we'll just play a handful of the songs from the contest that are all anonymous, so I don't have to bother linking these people or crediting anybody.
Nope.
Just check out dwellingofduels.net and, check it out yourself. I don't give a shit.
But why you gotta be that guy? But, why is it always gotta be negative with you, Joe?
But thanks again to you, Adam. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
Buy my games.
in a Dream Theater cover band. We know that you are rocking all the speed.
Yeah, when I was 12.